If I were to ask you, do you know who Frank Ellsworth Graff is? Would you know who he is? Frank Ellsworth Graff. G-R-A-E-F-F-E. I believe. No, there's no E, just G-R. Uh-oh. The voices are back.
We don't hear anything.
Really? That's what I was afraid of. It's all right. What if I told you he was born in 1860 and died in 1919? That helped. Still deer in the headlights. What if I told you he was a popular Methodist preacher in the Philadelphia area from about 1890 to 1919? Still nothing. What if I told you that C. Austin Miles, who wrote In the Garden, said this about him? He is a spiritual optimist, a great friend of children. His bright, sun-shining disposition attracts him not only to children, but to all with whom he comes in contact. He has a holy magnetism and a childlike faith. Frank Ellsworth Graff. If you have your songbooks, turn to number 507. Number 507. Look at the lower left-hand corner of the page. You may have never heard of him, but you have sung his hymn countless times. Does Jesus care? It's interesting when you look at the background of the hymns that we have in our books. Sometimes there's no information. Sometimes there are great stories tied to the writing of various songs that we sing routinely. And this is one of them. It's interesting that Frank Graff was known for having a sunny disposition. Children loved him. I read a piece of information about him, how he had been at some camp and he taught all these children and he did this demonstration where he'd hold up an object and they would tell him what passage he had in mind based on the object that he showed. Evidently, he was very good with kids and teaching them. But despite having this attitude of optimism and this disposition that seems to be extremely positive, isn't it interesting that he would write a song like, Does Jesus Care? When my heart is pained. Some have tried to get to the bottom as to what drove him to pen this hymn. And there is a story that's passed down that he had a daughter that was wearing a cotton gown. This would have been back, you know, around the turn of the century, about 1900 or so. And her cotton gown caught on fire. She stood too close to a furnace, and the injuries that she suffered in that accident killed her. But from what I can find, nobody can find any verification of that. Some say he wrote the song after he lost his wife, but it turns out that his wife outlived him. So I don't think he could have written it, you know, prophetically or something. In hope thereof, I don't know. But by the time he was 40, it is true that he had lost 2/3 of his immediate family. And his youngest sister died the year that he penned the hymn, Does Jesus Care? He was known for writing religious articles. He wrote what's called a novelette, about 75 pages, a book called The Minister's Twins. And he wrote about 200 hymns. But I think he's best known for the one that's there, number 507, Does Jesus Care? I want us to look at that song tonight and think about it. We'll certainly use the Bible in our discussion of it. You know, Terry referenced a minute ago how we need to pay attention to the songs that we sing, and we didn't work this out before he got up and prayed. But it reminded me a little bit of what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 14:15. I know there's a miraculous backdrop to that, but he said, I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding. And so let's just notice a few of these stanzas and consider kind of the theme in the message and see what we might learn. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. Does Jesus care when we're so brokenhearted that we can't even sing? James chapter 5 and verse 13, if any among you suffers, let him pray. If any be cheerful, let him sing psalms. And so, Graff paints a picture of a sadness that's so deep, can't even sing. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. Does Jesus care? Let's ask the question, did Jesus ever find Him in a situation where inwardly the pain was so great that surely it would have kept Him from singing and perhaps even crying out loud for relief? In Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 41, this is parallel to Matthew 23, verse 36 to about verse 38. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to you, how often I wanted to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. You will see me no more until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And in Matthew's account, chapter 24, Jesus describes how the temple would be destroyed along with the city of Jerusalem. Now in Luke's account, in Luke chapter 19, as Jesus draws near the city, what city? The city of Jerusalem. When he sees it, the text says, he wept. Now usually when we think of Jesus wept, we think of John 11, right? The word used here for wept is different. It's actually an uncontrollable grief. It's a crying out loud. Where it may be the case that in John's account, in John 11, regarding the graveside of Lazarus, there were tears streaming down his face. But here when he comes to the city, recognizing and knowing that it's going to be destroyed, that they're going to reject him, he wails. And so we look at that first stanza and we ask the question, does Jesus understand such deep grief? Yeah, he does. Absolutely. Luke chapter 19, verse 41, that little word wept tells us a great deal about the agony that he felt when he considered the fact that his people and their holy city and the temple and the nation would be destroyed. Does Jesus care? Well, he knows. Let's notice the next stanza. Does Jesus care when my way is dark, with nameless dread and fear, as the daylight fades into the deep night shades, does He care enough to be near? Notice the question is posed when there's a feeling of dread, when there's an anticipation of difficult times or an uncomfortable situation. Does Jesus know dread? Does He know fear? And certainly when we think of Jesus in this light, we're reminded of His humanity, right? That He lived as we do, and He experienced the same kinds of things. Turn to Matthew 26. Look at verse 38. We could look at some of the other accounts, but we'll look at Matthew 26, 38. Matthew 26, 38. When Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that the cross loomed, He said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. That's the King James Version. Even unto death. Of course, we know how He prayed three times. The Hebrews writer in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7 speaks of the tears that flowed there in the garden. The vehement cries as He cried out to His Father. But what did Jesus realize was about to happen? He's going to the cross. Nameless fear and dread. If it be possible, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. For the first time, he would identify with sin, or it would at least be identified with him, as he would have to bear the sins of the world. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He could see it. You know, it's interesting when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the synoptics in particular, and you get into the midst of his ministry, and you get going just a little ways, Jesus keeps saying, I must go to Jerusalem. I must go to Jerusalem. I've got to go to Jerusalem. Why? That's where he'd be lifted up, that he might draw all peoples to himself. John chapter 12 and verse 31. Here's another passage to consider in light of this nameless dread and fear. Does Jesus know? Look at Luke 22:44. Luke 22:44. Ed, would you read that out loud for us? I think we can do that, can't we? That's not improper, is it?
And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became as it were great drops of blood falling down on the ground.
Do you grasp the intensity? Do you see it? Now, I know there is a medical condition where the capillaries in the skin can break and blood can show. And then there are other preachers who argue, it says like. It's symbolic. Well, nonetheless. No matter what happened, you can't deny the intensity. You can't deny the mental and the emotional anguish that he's going through at that moment that then bleeds over into, no pun intended, the physical. You ever been so intense in prayer that you began to sweat? I don't know that I have. That much exertion? What lay over the horizon? The cross. Nameless fear and dread. Does Jesus care? When I'm facing some obstacle, when there's some trouble that I know is not going to be convenient nor enjoyable, does He care? Does He understand? I think so. Look at the next stanza, chapter 5, or number 507. It's hard to preach with a songbook, you know. Roy said we're going to sing some songs we normally don't sing. We're going to preach a sermon in a way we normally don't. So everything's, you know, in line tonight. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to Him, does He see? Yeah. Does He? What's the example? John 11, two verses. Verse 32, verse 35. Verse 32, I think, is rather telling. John 11, 32. And tell me if I have the wrong reference, please. It says, He groaned in his spirit when he saw those grieving over the death of Lazarus. Now, how close was Jesus to Lazarus? Look at the first few verses of John chapter 11. The text says Jesus loved him. And then when they saw Jesus weeping, John 11, 35, Jesus wept. They said, see how he loved him. Now, I realize that Jesus knew what he was about to do. But he understood the feelings involved in the loss of someone dear. And so he weeps. What about when we go through similar? Does he care? Yeah. Why? Because he knows. Now in our books, there's a missing stanza, and I'd like to read it. I think this is one of the best ones. Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief there is no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus understand temptation? Yeah. He became flesh that He might be tempted in order that He might aid us. Hebrews 2 and verse 18. He sympathizes with us as our high priest because He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He knows the pull of temptation. He knows what it feels like to face the devil. He doesn't know how it feels to fail, but we do. And simply because He can identify with the feelings we have as human beings, He understands and cares. Notice the great chorus in the song. Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Isn't that a great song? Roy's going to lead it for us. Roy, would you mind? Hope you found that enjoyable. Hope it was uplifting to you. Does Jesus care? You better believe it. He cared enough to die on the cross for every man, for every person. And the only proper response to that is obedience to the gospel that those things represent. If you've never done that, you've never put on Jesus in baptism that your sins might be forgiven, here's a great opportunity. And we stand waiting to assist you in any way we can as we stand and sing the invitation song.
Lay down the...